Well, we need help this morning, don't we? We do. You do. I do. We need help that cometh from the Lord. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, don't forget now, we're having choir practice this evening at 5 o'clock. So everybody that's in the choir and ought to be here at 5 o'clock this evening. If you want to join our choir, we'll let you try out. Come on this evening at 5 o'clock. You got to pass the singing test. No, I'm just kidding. You come on, get in the choir. Lord will bless you for it. You don't have to be a professional. We're not in the entertainment business. We're in the praise and worshiping and preaching business. So you come this evening at 5 o'clock and get in the choir. Lord will bless you for it. Amen. All you got to do is be saved and trying your best to live for God. Let's open the Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 4. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. There's a verse of scripture here that's always grabbed my heart when I read it. And I want to use it for a thought this morning. And I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. There's nothing in the world like Bible preaching. And if you'll listen to Bible preaching, God will speak to your heart. And it's not me, not preacher. The Holy Ghost can take these words and speak to your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. The Apostle Paul, the last book that he wrote before they killed him, he talked about fighting that good fight in verse 7, ready to go in verse 6, the crown he's going to get in verse 8, and verse 9 he said, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Why? Verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me for the ministry." Little note there on verse 11. Remember they had a little bust up there, a little disagreement back there in the book of Acts where they sort of didn't fool with Mark after a while and they went their different ways. But then they got made up and made things right here. He wanted Mark with him. That's what Christians are supposed to do. Get things right. You're not supposed to break up and hold grudges against people for years and years and years. But the verse we're going to look at this morning, in verse 10, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I want to preach this morning on the subject, "I wouldn't miss it for the world." That's an old saying that people have. Say, "Boy, you going to watch the ball game tomorrow? Man, I wouldn't miss it for the world." And then you say, "Are you going to be at the Christmas party? Wouldn't miss it for the world." That's a saying that we all use. I'm going to use that saying this morning and give you a little thought here from the Word of God. The truth is, a lot of people will miss going to heaven for the world. I wouldn't miss it for the world, would you? And if you miss it, that's why you'll miss it, for the world. But now, just remember, the Bible said that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. One day I got to thinking, and I thought, I'm a preacher. I've heard preachers preach on worldliness, and I've done it forever since I've been started preaching. But I wonder what the world was in Paul's time. There was no TV. There was no movies. There was no music that I know of, bad. There was no beach, you know, and there wasn't no... Everything that we call worldliness today, they didn't even have to worry about it back then. No iPods, no cell phones, no internet, no nothing. And yet the Paul said, Demas loved this world. So what the world is the world is a system. The world's system. Anything the world has, it's an attitude, it's a lifestyle, it's philosophy. And anything, as one old wise preacher said, he said, anything that cools off your affection for Jesus Christ is the world. I mean, it might be a fishing rod, it might be a boat, coon dog, shotgun, habit, hobby, whatever. Anything that cools you off toward the Lord is the world. And I want to say this morning, I wouldn't miss it for the world. First thing I want to say, I wouldn't miss his blessings for the world. I wouldn't miss his blessings for the world. Now, you know and I know there's a lot of Christians in this world today, probably some sitting here this morning, that are missing God's blessings on your life for the world. You got out in the world all this week, the world's movies, the world's music, the world's morals, and you're full of the world, and you cannot get a blessing from God this morning for the world. I wouldn't miss it for the world. You can't have God's full blessings, are you listening? Cooperating with this world. You cannot have the full blessings of God on your life cooperating with this world. Now the Bible said we're in the world, but we are not of the world. You cannot help being in this world. You can help being of this world. I mean, you're going to be in it. We're going to hear stuff. We're going to see stuff. We're going to be around stuff that's offensive. We're going to be around stuff that grieves our spirit. We're going to hear things that we think, oh Lord, how am I going to do that? You can't help that. You can't get away from it. But you can help going along with it. You can help participating in it. You can help it. And a lot of people miss the blessings for the world. I know a friend of mine, he got saved and got on fire for God, and next thing you know, he was out. You know, he started missing on Wednesday night. That's how it always starts. Then he started missing on Sunday night. Then he started missing, and he got completely out. Got right back out into the world. And he got out and stayed about 6 months or so. And during that time, a lot of good things had been happening at the church. People got saved, the Lord blessed and everything. And he come back and he seen them laughing and cutting up and everything. And he sat there and he thought, man. He told me, he said, I've been missing a lot. You know what he did? He missed them blessings for the world. I don't believe that's a smart idea. Don't miss his blessings for the world. I've seen people sit in church, and you have too. And the Lord start moving. People start crying, and people start praising God like this, and tears running down their face. And then you see somebody sitting there like this. Like, I'd give anything to feel that. I'd give anything to feel what y'all are feeling. But I'm living wrong. I'm out in the world. You know what you're doing? You are missing God's blessings for this world. Many a time I've watched people just sit and stare while others wept and shouted. Many a time I've seen people, you'd rather be popular at school than have his blessings. You'd rather be Mr. Cool at work than to have his blessings. You don't want to be Miss Suavo at work and be hot and popular with the girls at work rather than have his blessings. I'm saying to you this morning, I wouldn't miss his blessings for the world. The world don't have nothing to compare with the blessings of God. I'm telling you something, when they're singing and the choir's singing and God gets real and the Lord starts moving and it starts churning in your heart and everything, that's the blessings of God. And the really good part about trying to do right, if you've lived right this week and you've prayed and you've fasted and you've tried your best to do right, you can come in here and boy, when you they start saying, look what God gave me when he saved me from hell, something starts moving down inside, you say, amen, hallelujah. You know why? You gave up the world and got the blessings of God. I'm telling you this morning, I wouldn't miss his blessings for this world. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You'd rather drink your beer than have God's blessings. You'd rather smoke your pot than to have God's blessings. You'd rather live that lifestyle than to have God's blessings. I'm telling you, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Amen? Wouldn't miss it for the world. This world is a trap. It's a mirage. The things of the world are not what they're cracked up to be. It looks good, but after you get in it, it's disappointing. It looks tempting, and after you live that lifestyle for a while, you realize that it's nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Amen? Wouldn't miss it for the world. Wouldn't miss it for the world. Wouldn't miss his blessings for the world. This world don't have no use for God. This world's not your friend if you're right with God. It's not God's friend. And the biggest mistake churches are making today is trying to bring God down and make him cool and acceptable so the world will accept it. You can't make God down so the world can accept him. They're going to come up and accept him on his terms. You say, we could get in here and bring in a little rock music and sway a little bit, you know, and I don't scream no more, you know. I'd say, oh, that's just good to see everybody. Everybody's blessed and everybody, you know, it's like certain preachers we know. It's impossible to smile the entire time you're preaching. That is impossible. But you know preachers that smile the whole time. The whole time. I think they're glued that way. I mean, they sprayed them with something when they smile, man. I mean, no matter what they say. Listen, there's some things I preach about you just can't smile about, man. You don't smile about everything. The world this morning is not our friend. We've all heard, you've heard on the news this week, old Kirk Cameron made one statement. Did y'all talk about that in Sunday school? Did that come up? Well, old Kirk Cameron made one statement. He's the little guy off Growing Pains, you know, and he got up, grew up and got saved by the grace of God and took a stand for the Lord. And it's all over the news this week. They trick them guys. They trick them. When they get a Christian, they automatically ask them questions to back them into a corner. But thank God he had enough guts, more than a lot of them preachers they have on there. Amen?
Yep.
I know a good church in Texas that ought to vote Kurt in as their pastor. I'm telling you, brother. Listen, he got up, brother, and they said, what do you think about homosexual marriages? And he said, I think it's unnatural. He was nice. He was polite. He wasn't detrimental. He wasn't judgmental. He didn't talk. He didn't have a bad spirit. He said, I think that it's unnatural and it's detrimental to society because it can't reproduce. And oh my goodness, the wrath of Hollywood come down. One old guy got up, I don't know who he was. He was some guy in Hollywood. He said, oh, I'm just so disappointed at Kurt. He said, I had a crush on him. What he said? On net TV. And he said, down comes the Kurt posters. Down come the Kurt posters. I thought, thank God you ought to take them down. If I was Kurt, I'd shout if he had posters of me in his room. I'm telling you, boy, well, thank God for that old boy. He had more gut. I'm telling you. People say, oh, he shouldn't get on there. It's hurting the cause of Christ. Now we'll never win. Hey, people, we got to stand up for something sometime or another. And brother, thank God the man stood for what's right. It is not our job to please the world. It's our job to stand for what's right. And if they come over and get something, you'll never win them by being like them, I can tell you that. You'll never win the world by being like the world. You'll never win the world by going along with the world. They've won you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God the old boy had enough guts. And they crucified him. They said, I can't believe. They said, most of Americans don't feel that way. I beg your pardon. I guarantee you most Americans feel that way. Let's vote on it. Let America vote on gay marriage. We'll see how many of them. I mean, them people live in Hollywood, live in it. They have an isolated mentality. That means their own little world. They don't think there is anything else. I'm telling you this morning, brother, I wouldn't miss his blessings for the world. We ought to pray that God will bless Kirk Cameron. Let him make more money than he ever made, right? Growing Pains or whatever it was. That don't sound like a good movie. I'm telling you something, brother. Listen, I star in Constipator. That's what it sounds like. Listen, I don't know why they named it that. But anyway, let's pray for him, amen. I wouldn't miss God's blessings for the world. Number two, I wouldn't miss his benefits for the world. I wouldn't miss his benefits for the world. There are so many benefits of serving God, of raising a family. In your marriage, peace of mind. I wouldn't trade his benefits for the world. The Bible said in Psalm 103, he daily loadeth us with benefits. You see, besides being saved, you get benefits. I have people say, well, I got this job, and they pay me $40,000 a year, or they pay me $35,000 a year. And I said, well, that's pretty good. And they said, but preacher, I got all kinds of benefits. They pay my health insurance. They pay this and that, whatever. And I said, boy, that's good. You know what those extras are called? Benefits. Now, when the Lord saves you, you don't just get saved from hell. You get benefits. You get other things like his blessings, like his leadership, like peace of mind, like answered prayer, like all kinds of things. Amen? Just peace of mind. Just knowing. When I woke up this morning, I woke up in my right mind. I knew what day it was. I looked and I thought, man, it's already 7 o'clock and, it's still sort of dark. And I said, glory to God. It's Sunday. Hallelujah. We get to go to church. I get that peace of mind as a benefit, and I'm not going to miss that benefit for this world. Amen? I'm just not going to do it. It's not worth it. I wouldn't miss his benefits for the world. I've lived so long like this now that I know I'm getting cheated if I let this world cheat me out of the benefits that the Lord blesses me with. You know where there's more shrinks, psychiatrists, than anywhere in the United States? You guessed it. Hollywood. More psychiatrists per capita in Hollywood than anywhere in the United States. They've been acting so long they don't know who they are. Amen? I mean, they even have dog psychiatrists and dog motels. And how do you know if your dog needs to go to a psychiatrist? Shoot it. That's right. That's right. That's right. Put it out of its misery. But listen, brother, I will tell you something this morning. You hear me, brother? You hear me? I wouldn't miss His protection. His protection on my life. His protection and His leadership. Knowing how to make the right. Listen, I'd be scared to just leave the church and leave God because all the choices you got to make out there, the chances of you making the wrong choices are major. Listen, you know why you need to stay in a good church? I mean where the Bible's preached? Because the leadership of the Lord help you make the right choices. Amen. You make some dumb decisions. I'll never forget, you can believe this or not, believe it, it's true. It seemed like when you first get saved, the Lord does a lot of special things for you. And I was about 19 years old. I'd been saved about a year. And I mean, I was right with God. Lord, have mercy. I confessed there. I got up one morning, and I remember getting down in the floor, and I was praying. This is a long time ago. Up in my little floor there in Nebo, in a little trailer I lived in. And I got down on the floor one morning, and I said, Lord, I love You. Lord, it's good to be saved. Lord, I love You. I love You. Lord, I just love You this morning. I love You. And as plain as day, a guy's face popped in my head. You ever have somebody just a face just pop up in your head? And it did just as plain as day. This boy I hadn't seen in probably at least 3 years. I hadn't saw him since high school. I graduated when I was 17. Maybe at least 2 years. And I hadn't saw him since high school. He was never a friend of mine. He was never, I don't know if he ever even talked, said hey, something like that. I didn't even know him. And his face popped in my head. Just as plain as day. And I thought, isn't that weird? That's weird, Lord. I don't know. Wherever his name was David. And I said, Lord, wherever old David's at, Lord, I pray You'd touch him and God save him. Lord, why am I thinking about him? Of all the people I went to high school with, I forgot all about him. His face popped plain as day in my head. I prayed for him a little bit and I said, Glory to God, hallelujah, amen, thank You, Jesus. Woo! I got up, well, I got in my car and went to town in Marion. I went in Rose's store up there in Marion. And I walked across the store just like I was walking like this right here, and there that guy stood. I mean, 10 minutes later, me and him just like that. And when I seen him, I went, whoa, hallelujah. I didn't say it that loud in Roses. But when I saw him, I shouted him. I said, Lord, have mercy. Something started bubbling up in me. And I thought, I cannot believe this, Lord. I cannot believe this. You showed me His face. You say, oh, Brother Danny. Listen, I've had that happen more than one time. That's the leadership of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, the Lord don't ever lead me like it. Get up this world. You're missing it for the world. You're missing it for the world. Listen, the 10-0 games, movies on Friday night, drunk parties, a casino, ain't compare with what God can do if you'll let Him work in your life. You're missing it for the world. And the problem with most people is you're a little bit worldly and a little bit churchy to where you ain't happy in here or out there, neither one. You got too much God in you to enjoy the world, and you got too much world in you to enjoy church. You're a mess, you know it? You know what you ought to do? You ought to hit this altar this morning and say, I ain't going to miss it for the world. I stood there that day and something started bubbling up in me, and I said, you better look out, boy. Here I come. The Holy Ghost has led me here. You say, oh, Brother Danny. Well, I'll tell you what happened to me one time. I had to preach. I was preaching in Asheville on the street. We was preaching. Me and these boys go over to Asheville. We preached every Saturday. Young preachers worrying about God opening doors. There's doors open every Saturday if you ain't too backslid to go through them. Yep. Say amen right there. Yep. You can preach every Saturday if you ain't too backslid. And we went every Saturday. Before I ever was pastoring church, I preached every Saturday. I thought, man, if I didn't get to preach on Saturday, it was awful. And we went over to Asheville, and I was over there saying, the Bible says! That's how come I holler so loud now. Started out preaching on the street, and I just started doing the same thing in here. Yeah. And boy, I said, the Bible said, you must be born again. When I got through, there's a guy come up to me, and he said, man, that was good preaching. He said, won't you come preach at our church tonight? This on Saturday. That's how the Lord opened doors. Yeah. I said, who are you? Where is your church? I don't know. He said, it's over here in Woodpin, North Carolina. That's right above Asheville, going up Highway 23 north. And he said, it's Woodpin over there. And I said, are you the pastor? He said, no. He said, but we have church every Saturday night. You come tonight and preach. I said, listen, man, don't just go. I can't just show up to your church and say I'm here to preach. And I said, your pastor is supposed to invite. He said, no, me and my pastor talked. He told me if I met anybody that could preach good, invite them over. And I said, all right, I'll be there. I said, how, show me how to get there. I wasn't familiar with all them highways over there that much then. He drawed me out a little map. You take Interstate 40, and you go up Highway 23 North, and he told me where to turn off at. I said, okay. I came home, prayed, got ready, got my buddies, and I said, come on, boys, going to Iceland. I get to preach tonight. And I got over there, and I was driving over there, and all that traffic, you know. I was about 19 then. I might have been 20. And I was going down through there like that. And I got in the traffic, pushed us over, and I was trying to read that map. And you know what that guy done? He thought I lived on the other side of Iceland. So the map was backwards. So everywhere it said south, it meant north. And where it said east, it meant west. And the whole thing was backwards. And I was going down there, and I said, the map says we've got to turn off right there. The map says we've got to turn off. Oh, no, the map says. And I passed the exit, and there's traffic on all sides of it. And I said, now, hurry, Brother Danny, we're going to be late. I said, man, I can't get off all these cars. And I was trying to look at them. And I said, well, there's a road. I'll just turn up it. And I turned up this road like that, and I went around. I was going to try to circle back around and get back on the interstate. And I come up the road like that, and sort of, and boom, and right there was the church. Right in front of me. I said, there it is, right there. That map ain't no good. And you know what? You know what? That was the Lord. The Lord. I mean, that's how I have found churches. I didn't even know the Lord knew where they was. I'm back in the middle of nowhere. I said, Lord, I mean, he put a little GPS down in here somewhere. I said, Lord, show me how to get there. And Lord, I just want to hear. And the Lord, that's happened over and over. I'm telling you, I wouldn't miss that for this world. If there's just something, there's a peace inside that knowing that he'll leave me. My favorite verse of scripture, everybody knows it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I've made decisions before. Y'all know me. And people, even people in the church. I had deacons up in Marion tell me this. Brother, I cannot believe you're doing this. I said, I believe the Lord wants us to. And I stopped, and everybody said, you're crazy. And it turned out right. And say to me, man, you're smart. How'd you know that? I said, I ain't smart, but I believe in letting him lead me. Yeah. Amen? And I am trusting the Lord to lead me in my life. And that you cannot beat that. You cannot beat that. You cannot be educated enough to know the future. But he does, brother. And he knows where you need to be and when you need to be there. And thank God I wouldn't miss his blessings and his benefits for this world. Number three, and I'll be done. I wouldn't miss his buildings. Those mansions that we're going to see when we get to heaven. Amen. I wouldn't miss that for this world. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 said, we know that if our earthly tabernacle, this house, is dissolved, we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I wouldn't miss his buildings. I wouldn't miss his blessings. I wouldn't miss his benefits. Thank God I wouldn't miss them buildings for this world. Mansions in heaven. You know, to me, one of the most absurd, ridiculous, crazy things I've ever been and tried to do in my life is try to talk people into going to heaven. We talk to them, we beg. That don't make sense to me. That, if you believed it, nobody would have to say a word to you. Right. Amen. It's ridiculous to me that we have to talk people into going to heaven. Who in the world wouldn't want to go to heaven? One old country singer said, well, there ain't no whiskey in heaven. I don't want to go. And I thought, you idiot, there ain't none in hell neither. Right. You crazy thing. You think you're going to get down there and drink? What you people, their minds left. They lost their mind. I'm telling you, brother, listen, that they tell me the other day that they buried Whitney Houston with $500,000 worth of jewelry. And I knew you'd say that. Where's she buried at? Let's go pay her last respects, brother. And they have to have guards around her grave 24 hours a day Because people come get it. Now, listen, people. Where are our brains? Do you think it made her feel better to bury her with $500,000? That is ridiculous. Well, that's ridiculous. Amen? It's ridiculous. I'm telling you, this world, they don't even think right. They think backwards. They think the most important thing in the world is to find true love and be happy and be successful. The most important thing in the world is get you one of them buildings up there, the Lord's building. Right. Reserve you a mansion. Because everything down here is going to go. The Grove Park Inn. The Biltmore House. Sears Tower. I've been on top of that Sears Tower in Chicago. At that time, it was the tallest building in the world. And buddy, we went up there. Man, you look over Chicago. I just stared at it. And I thought, this is all the world's got to offer. I've been on top of the Empire State Building. And several times. And looked up there and you see all of New York City. And you see them little buildings down there. Bigger than anything we got in North Carolina. Look about that high. Looking down on from the top of that Empire State Building. And you think, you know something? Buddy, I'm going to tell you about a city this morning that's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles square. MTV Cribs, are you kidding? Them little baby houses they got on there. They said one of them old basketball players had one 54,000 square feet. Michael Jordan has his house on the market right now. Did you see that? $29 million. It's got 13 bathrooms. He has a complete full-size gymnasium. He has $29 million for a house. Now, you know, that'd be a nice little place to hang out for a while, but it's nothing. Listen, our mansion's in heaven. They have no locks on the doors, for there be no thieves there. There's no moth nor dust corrupt, or thieves break through and steal. We'll have a perfect life, perfect environment. You can eat all you want, never have to worry about gaining weight, cholesterol, heart attack. You can enjoy the blessings of the Lord. You can live in a solid gold mansion. Walk on gold streets forever and ever and ever. I wouldn't miss that for this world. Wouldn't miss it for the world. No time clocks. No funerals. Perfect entertainment. Perfect environment. Perfect weather forever and ever and ever. Somebody figured it up. Of a city that big, you could put over 5 billion rooms in it. 20 foot by 20 foot rooms. No time clocks. The world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me. Heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know something this morning? Some of y'all are missing that for this world. Now you tell me who the fool is. You tell me. Man says, I'm not going to get saved. I'm just going to live it up, party, live my lifestyle, do whatever I want. Then he dies and goes to hell forever and ever 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 for 30 or 40 years. Of fun down here. He missed it for the world. And a man gives it up. Man gives it up. Says, okay, Lord, I'm going to leave that old wicked lifestyle behind. I'm putting my faith in you. I'm going to do right. I'm going to serve you. He misses this world, but then he goes to heaven and he's got a solid gold mansion and perfect peace and happiness forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You tell me who's smart. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Really, if you believe it, they ain't even no debate. They ain't nothing to even consider. It'd be like holding a penny right here and $100 million right here. Which one you want? I mean, you know why people want that penny? Because they can see it right now. They can touch it right now. I don't want to wait on that $100 million. I don't want to wait till I die. It might not be true. That's your problem. Unbelief. That's what sends people to hell. Unbelief. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. You know what they're telling in some colleges now? Some professor, they come out this week, and he said, there's no evidence that Jesus Christ ever even existed. Do you hear that? He said there's no evidence Jesus ever existed. Let me tell you something. There's more documented evidence that Jesus Christ lived than there is Shakespeare.
Amen.
You believe in Shakespeare, don't you? Nobody doubts. You don't hear anybody say, I don't know if there ever was a person Shakespeare. You know why? Because the devil don't care. He don't care if you believe in Shakespeare. But as soon as it comes to you, oh, you don't believe that, do you? Come on now. That's the devil works on you day and night. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I wouldn't miss heaven for the world. Man said one time, I've had teenagers come to me and they say, Brother Danny, don't think bad of me, but I want to ask you a question. I said, okay. Now you promise you won't think bad of me? I promise. What's your question? Brother Danny, you're going to think I'm awful. I said, just go ahead and ask me. And they'll say, I'm not trying to be irreverent. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but what are we going to do in heaven forever and ever? There ain't no TV. There ain't no. And they think, we're just going to sit around on a little puff of cloud and play a harp? Listen, God has something waiting in heaven that's a million times better than anything this world's got to offer.
Amen.
You will never be bored. You will never be hurting. You will never. It'll be just perfect contentment and peace and joy forever and ever and ever. Don't you let the devil tell you that you'll be bored in heaven. Lord, we're not even bored down here just talking about it. I'm not bored. I'm never bored. I'm never bored down here. Let alone, brother, you wait till we get there. You say, well, ain't we going to have no fun? Oh, yeah, we're going to have fun. We're going to have a great time? Yeah, we're going to have a great time. I don't know what all God's got, but I guarantee you one thing, you'll love it. You'll love it. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Let's stand by and pray. Every head bowed.